Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the last of the last days, some of the signs and the indications that we are in the last of the last days. And I've done so, I've given you the overview, kind of a broad brush introduction, so that we will understand that we do see the foreshadowings of, and we do see the indications of, we are watching the stage rehearsal of what shall take place after the rapture of the church happens. I don't know about you, but I rejoice in the realization and the recognition that when all of these things take place, that we're talking about future eschatological events, when all of these things take place, I won't be here. Now, you can if you want to, but I won't. And the way that you make that determination decision is by saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. If you've said yes to Christ as Savior, if you're blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, you need not worry about any of these things that shall take place after the rapture of the church. We do need to be encouraged, though, to recognize what is happening and to understand that we are in the last of the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, we must be extremely careful in taking a scripture out of context and making it say something that is not biblically correct. A good example of that, ladies and gentlemen, was just a few years back now, several very prominent, internationally known radio, television, pastor, preacher, biblical teachers wrote books. In fact, they got into a book battle. About four of these major pastors had written books on the four blood moons. They wound up with a court battle as to who produced the material first, wound up with major haranguing about that. And they, because the blood moons that were supposed to be the phenomena that was taking place in the outer space, and the moon was looking as though it was the blood, it was referred to as a blood moon. Then all of a sudden, these preachers got on the bandwagon. Aha, look. This indicates here that this is what's happening today, and they use scripture references on that. Ladies and gentlemen, according to Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 32, Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, these things will be the things that will take place where the blood literally turns to, the moon turns to blood in the days of the tribulation. It won't be before the tribulation. Again, it may be a foreshadowing of that, but for these preachers to be brazen enough and to be careless enough with the Word of God to say that that was literally what was happening was not absolutely not true. You'd be surprised how many people I had to come to me that had picked up some of this rubbish, some of this garbage, some of this eschatological nonsense that they were producing in book form and had on the internet. They'd come to me and say, is this true? Is this true? Look at this website. Tell me what you think. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a bunch of hocus pocus because it was not truth. According to the Word of God, we need to look at the scripture and understand the chronology of biblical events, especially when it comes to the chronological events of the last days. We need to understand that, and we need to recognize it. That is, in the last days of the tribulation, the Bible says that the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, Joel 2, verse 31. This is in the last days of the tribulation, not now. Not now. Keep in mind, not now. These things will occur after the rapture of the church has taken place. And recently, some of the so-called biblical scholars are claiming that the four horsemen of Revelation 6, 1 and falling, referring to the death and the destruction and the dearth and the death on the globe, they say that those things are taking place now. And it is not so. No, no, no. It is not so. In fact, I'm looking at an article here that says, the four horsemen are active, biblical scholars claim. The book of the Revelation, the seals are broken. And it goes on in this two- or three-page article. One Twitter writer said, the four horsemen of the apocalypse representing war and famine and pestilence and death, as depicted in the Bible of Revelation 6, 2 through 8, are most likely causing the coronavirus today. Oh, mercy. Here's another one says, we don't see them, but we can feel them, and the wrath is everywhere, one writer said. Another said, what if the corona pandemic is one of the four horsemen? Another one says, this virus is the pale horseman, a pale horse of the horsemen in the Revelation 6 text. A third writer said, outright claim says, the four horsemen of the Bible are currently active in the world today. Ladies and gentlemen, that's hocus pocus. That is simply not true. The four horsemen of the apocalypse will take place after the rapture of the church during the days of the tribulation. And the book of the Revelation is very, very clear. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, things which must shortly come to pass." Ladies and gentlemen, the word revelation is the word apocalypsis. The word apocalypse simply means the unveiling, the revealing, the showing forth of Jesus. When you look at the book of the Revelation, Revelation chapter 1 is the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 is seeing Jesus in the churches. Revelation 4 and 5 is seeing Jesus on the throne. Revelation 6 through 18 is seeing Jesus in the tribulation. Revelation 19 is seeing Jesus in his return. Revelation 20 is seeing Jesus in the millennial reign. Revelation 21 is seeing Jesus in heaven. And Revelation 22 is seeing Jesus throughout all of eternity. The book of the Revelation is all about seeing the lovely, lifted, life-giving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself. And yet you see some of these denominations that when they talk about the Revelation text, they come up with all of these multi-headed beasts and all of these symbols that you find, the signs and the symbols that's found in the book of Revelation. Revelation is chronologically correct. For example, when you look at the book of the Revelation, some say that Revelation text is going forward and then extrapolating back, going forward and extrapolating back. No, it's not. The book of the Revelation is a continual chronology going forward in chronological order. There may be a scene on earth, and then the next scene's in heaven, a scene on earth, the next scene in heaven, but it's progressively going forward with the truth of the Word of God. And so we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that you can't take Scripture out of context. I've said for all of these years in teaching in the Bible college and seminary and from the pulpit, a text out of context is a pretext and should never be used as a text. And yet we have folks today that are talking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse as though it's taking place today and using the coronavirus, of all things, to validate their mistaken, unethical, ungodly, unholy, unbiblical interpretation. Here's one, for example, and we'll look at the text in a minute. Here's one, the headline says, "The four horsemen, who are they?" The rider on the white horse, this rider says, is the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ coming forth. Another one says, "The four horsemen of the apocalypse," and they state the first horseman riding on the white horse, which scholars interpret as symbolizing the Lord Jesus. And then another says, "Who are the four horsemen in Revelation, their meaning and their significance?" And we're going to look at that, but we're going to look at it, ladies and gentlemen, from a biblical chronological standpoint of what does the Word of God say? What does the Bible say about that? And when we jump to the sixth chapter of the book of the Revelation, we find that the Lamb is opening the seals, and the Lamb opening the seals. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, chapter 4 and 5 is the precursor to chapter 6. You understand? If you have 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, then you find chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 come before chapter 6, right? So if it's chronological, and it is, you find in chapter 4 and 5 where the Lord Jesus Christ is on the throne. You find in chapter 4 and 5 where there's a search. The scripture says in chapter 5, there's a search all of heaven and all of earth, finding to try to find one that is worthy. Word worthy means capable, having the authority to open the seals. The seven seals, it's a scroll with seven seals. Keep in mind, the book of the Revelation has 21 judgments. The seven seals judgment, the seven trumpets judgment, and the seven bowls are vials of wrath judgment. All of those are progressive throughout the book of the Revelation. Starting in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and following, you find in chapter 6, six of the seven seals. You find chapter 7 as the parenthetical inset, where there's 144,000 Jewish evangelists preaching the everlasting gospel. Chapter 8, Revelation, verse 2 and following, picks up with the seventh seal. And then at the conclusion of the seventh seal, you find then the seven trumpets that you find in Revelation chapter 11 and following, until the final trumpet is, final vial is poured out, and that vial of wrath, where God's wrath, judgment, that word wrath is thumos, the white-hot anger of God for those that have not said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, in chapter 6, the six seals are open, and each one progressively reveals the wrath of God being poured out upon a Christ-rejecting society. There's evil in the world today, ladies and gentlemen, and it's going to build and build and build progressively until God says enough is enough, and then God's judgment is going to fall. And ladies and gentlemen, the fourth chapter in the first verse is a very, very important verse in the scripture where John has said, "Come up here." And when John is called to come up here, keep in mind the book of the Revelation is the revelation that God has given to John that he writes down, grapho. It's the Greek word grapho, meaning to write. And John writes it down. We have the benefit of it today. But he's banished to the Isle of Patmos, a rocky, stony island about 8 by 10 miles in diameter out in the Aegean Sea. And he's banished there because of his witness for Jesus Christ and because of the word of God and a refusal to bow and worship the emperor and call him God. As a result of the word and witness of John, he is there. And ladies and gentlemen, he sees, and as he sees it, he is showing us in the book of the Revelation what we need to understand for today so that we'll know where God is going, what God is doing chronologically and progressively. And in the fifth chapter, they find that Jesus Christ is the only one that has the capability, the authority, to open the seals. He's referred to in the fifth chapter of the book of the Revelation and in the sixth verse as the Lamb, as one having been slain. And so when the text opens in verse 1 of chapter 6, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of the thunder, and the four beasts saying, come and see. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lamb that's opening the seals is Jesus Christ. So if he is opening the seals, he's not also the one that's riding on the white horse. When we look at the Revelation text and we see in the verses talking about those four horsemen, verse 1 and 2, and I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go into a lot of biblical context. I could go into a number of biblical verses to validate this, but this one riding on a white horse is not Jesus Christ. It is the Antichrist coming on a white horse, indicating victory, coming on a white horse with a bow, there are no arrows, indicating that he is coming as one that is a strong man, coming as one that's in authority, one that's in control. But he will be coming as shown in the biblical text in Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 8 and also in Daniel chapter 9. He comes in peace, and he forms a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. And halfway through that peace treaty, he breaks the treaty and tries to destroy the nation of Israel, the apple of God's eye. And ultimately, there's the total battle across the globe. So the first horse rider that's coming in, he is the rider of defeat. He is the one that's coming in to conquer and to be allow conquering to take place. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, he is proclaiming peace, but he's coming in one, as one that's deceiving. And when you look at riding on the white horse, a lot of folks get that confused, because in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 and following, Jesus Christ returns riding on a white horse. He returns in victory, not the victim, but in victory, riding on a white horse. But we must understand context, and in the context, the chronology that's given. This one riding on the white horse, that first rider coming out, is the rider of defeat. He is the rider, the Antichrist, that is coming forth. And the second rider is the rider that's found in verse 3 and 4. It's the rider of destruction. The rider of destruction, the Bible says, when he had opened the second seal. He who is Jesus Christ, this found, according to Revelation chapter 5, he is the only one that has the authority to open the seals. Keep in mind, the Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, and 27, that God does not judge any man, but all judgment is committed into the hands of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that will judge the world when the rapture of the church has taken place through the Antichrist coming on the scene. And here in the text, in the fourth verse, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Ladies and gentlemen, the second rider on the horse is the horse that's the man that's riding on the red horse. It's indication of destruction. This rider on the red horse symbolizing violence and destruction. And may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, it is the Antichrist that will break that peace treaty and will bring about violence and destruction on the face of this earth as has never been seen before. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 19 and verse 2, the scripture says, brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor, city will rise against city and kingdom against kingdom. And the word kingdom is the word basileon. It means absolute domination of nations. And may we understand, ladies and gentlemen, what we're seeing today is the foreshadowing. It's not the four horsemen of the apocalypse that's taking place today, but it's the foreshadowing of these events of the dearth and the death and the destruction and the danger that will be taking place after the rapture of the church during the days of the tribulation. Not only do we see the white horse, the rider of defeat, and the rider of destruction, the red horse, but in chapter 6 in Revelation verses 5 and 6, the rider of dearth, D-E-R-T-H, the scripture says, and when it opened the third seal, he who, going back to Jesus Christ, that is the one that has the power, the authority to open the seals. It is the scroll, ladies and gentlemen, the scroll book. And as this one seal is opened, it unveils and shows forth that which is going to take place in that period of time under the seal that is sealed. Keep in mind, in the book of Daniel, Daniel was told to seal out the book until the end time, until the latter days. And the sealed up book is now being unsealed by none other than Jesus Christ himself. And when it opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Ladies and gentlemen, this rider of dearth, it is the rider that comes forth. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, these are just indicators of what will take place during the days of the tribulation. The Antichrist will step on the scene. When the Antichrist steps on the scene, immediately a short time after that will follow absolute destruction. Following and in the midst of that destruction will be dearth. There will be famine as the world has never seen in the history of the globe. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand we're seeing foreshadowings of that today. It indicates here, black indicates famine, indicates mourning, indicates sadness. The rider has a pair of balance scales in his hand measuring grain. This is a symbol of dreaded famine around the globe. Dearth that generally comes with war and destruction, and that shall take place during the days of the tribulation. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing a foreshadowing of that today because of the shutdown of America with the coronavirus, and the illicit, illegal, unconstitutional, unenforceable orders of governors and mayors. We're seeing where there's a shortage of food, and the food supply has basically been cut in part. And as a result of that, we see in some cities where cars lined up for 1,000 deep, waiting to get a box of groceries put in the trunk of their car or in the back of their pickup truck for them to be able to feed their families. But ladies and gentlemen, that's just a little small image of what shall be in the future. These verses, ladies and gentlemen, tell us that a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of wheat, barley, measures of barley for a penny, literally a penny, talking about a denarius of that era. This is equal to a day's wages. There's coming a day after the rapture of the church, during the early days of the tribulation and following, ladies and gentlemen, that food will be short in supply, and it will take a day's wages to buy a loaf of bread to put on the table for the family to be able to eat. Someone has said that today, some number that go to bed hungry, that more than half the world goes to bed hungry every day. Malnutrition changes lives, and today we're told that about 10,000 people every day will die as a result of malnutrition. Think of the condition globally. The average American family, I'm told, puts in the garbage can each day enough to feed an entire family of six in the nation of India. Most pets today in America have higher protein daily intake than people in the world. Worldwide famine and dearth, God's wrath being poured out of judgment upon a world. No, the four horsemen of the apocalypse is not taking place today, is not active today, but shall be in the future tense. We're seeing a foreshadowing, a little taste of what shall be. So what I'm trying to get us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is looking at the book of the Revelation contextually, looking at the book of the Revelation chronologically, and understanding it in the context in which it is speaking and who's speaking. It is Jesus Christ that returns in Revelation 19. It is the Antichrist that enters the world scene in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and following. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you see these things taking place with the four horsemen coming in. It's one right after the other. It's not an elongated period of time, one between the other. It is the pouring out of God's wrath upon a world that said no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Perhaps you're listening and you say, well, I don't believe that stuff. That's all right. You can deny it. You can refuse to believe it. You can refuse to accept it if you like, does not change the Word of God one whit. It doesn't change one jot or one tittle of the Word of God if you disavow it, disbelieve it, and deny it in some fashion. But if you're listening, ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to recognize that God's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save. God is not asleep. He's not going on vacation. If you've never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, why not today? Why not right now? Say yes to him as Savior. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, there's some folks that say, I'm going to wait and see if this thing about the rapture is true. And after the rapture takes place, if the rapture is true, after it takes place, I'll say yes to Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 and following, the verses 1 through 9 in particular. You'll find that if you've believed a lie, if you've decided not to say yes to Jesus, you've doubted and denied the Word of God, and the Bible says if you've believed a lie, Satan's going to send you a delusion, you're going to be deluded, and believe the lie, and it'll be an impossibility to say yes to Jesus Christ. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, those in the tribulation that get saved, the majority of those will be Jewish people that have scales on their eyes now, but all of Israel shall be saved. Romans chapter 11, verse 24, 25, and 26 tells us that all of Israel that shall be saved is during the days of the tribulation, and the all of Israel will be that little minuscule remnant that's left, because by the time that takes place, two-thirds of the world's population, as you study the Revelation text chronologically, you understand by then two-thirds of the world's population will already been devastated and doomed and martyred for at the hand of the Antichrist. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the rider of defeat, that's the white horse. The rider of destruction, that's the red horse. The rider of dearth, that's the pale horse that you see coming forth, where there will be an absolute dearth in the land. And we're seeing that, ladies and gentlemen, foreshadowing of that today. It's not, this is not happening today. It's the foreshadowing of it. And if we see that where there's a famine in multitudes of places around the globe that's devastating, picture that multifold as to what will take place on a global level. And then finally, the fourth horse of the apocalypse, the four horsemen that were seen, the rider of death in verses 7 and 8, the scripture says, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And he looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto him to take a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be here. I won't be here. I want you to understand that. When the fourth seal is opened, when Jesus Christ opens that fourth seal, indicating the wrath of God being poured out, when that fourth seal is opened, and that fourth rider enters the world stage, riding on the pale horse, the scripture says, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. That word hell there is talking about Hades. It's talking about the grave. So it's death and the grave followed with him. Remember, we're not seeing the end. We're seeing only the beginning of the end. Things are awful and terrible and devastating, but it will get far worse before the end comes. In fact, in Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 21, the scripture tells us this, for thus saith the Lord, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and pestilence, to cut it off from man and beast. Ladies and gentlemen, the tribulation is real. The lupsis, the white-hot anger of God, the wrath of God being poured out upon a world that said no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. In the days of the tribulation, it's going to be where God unleashes his judgment upon a Christ-rejecting, God-hating, Bible-denying, church-rejecting populace in the world. Death and hell. That's death and the grave. That is death and the grave following. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible tells us that Jesus holds the keys of death and the grave in his hand. So great the devastation shall be, ladies and gentlemen, with dearth and disease and destruction, that one-fourth of the world's population will have been destroyed in God's wrath by that time. About 25% of the world's population will die at the onset of the tribulation. We're witnessing only the foreshadowing of these times in the days to come. And ladies and gentlemen, what you see taking place and what we see taking place today with what is called the coronavirus and that which is happening as far as death and destruction in homes and families. And when we see the iron hand of government taking the position and saying that we can control you, that's just a little smattering, a little foreshadowing, a little glimpse into the future of what God is going to do after the church is snatched out. Listen very carefully. You need to understand. Next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. Following the rapture of the church is 7 years of ruin, the days of the tribulation. Following the 7 years of tribulation is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the following his return, he, according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 through 21, he's going to slay the enemies of God and the false prophet and the Antichrist with the sword of his mouth, that is literally the spoken word. And then in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, he's going to take Satan and cast him into that place called hell. It's the Greek word Tartarus, means a place that's burning with fire and brimstone. You see the rapture of the church, the ruin of the in the world, the return of Christ, and then ultimately in Revelation 21, you see the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 20, you find that the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the place called heaven will come on the scenes. And if you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, you will be there. But ladies and gentlemen, in Revelation chapter 6, the Bible says, when the sixth seal is open, and I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth and hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, and even the fig tree casteth their untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, and when it rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every freeman, hid themselves in dens, and in rocks, and in the mountains, and said unto the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath, the thumos of the Lamb. Ladies and gentlemen, the 17th verse in the 6th chapter says, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And the answer to that is no one. No one. This is the reason you need to be ready. This is the reason we need to say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. While we have the opportunity, while we still have the mentality to do so and the opportunity to do so. Yes, the churches need to remain open. Pastors need to be in the pulpits. We need to continue to proclaim the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ while there's yet time, while we still have the opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.